You may be seated.
Thanks, Mike. We've been looking at Ephesians. Let me turn this off. For the last few weeks, and we're now at the end of chapter 2. And what a beautiful concept we see here. God's house that we learn from our earlier readings. Jacob called the place where he met God. This is the house of God, he said. I called this place Bethel. This is where God dwells. And then over in Hebrews, Moses was put in charge of this so-called house at a certain point, but then Jesus takes over and becomes in charge of the entire house of God. And that's what we learn in this passage, that God desires to dwell among His people and has done so since the Garden of Eden, that He might be their God and that we might be His people. Desires to dwell among us, and He's done that in a number of ways throughout the different dispensations or periods of His interaction with man. So let's take a look at this passage and just a few details about it, so that we can get a picture of how we are related to this house, what God intends for this house, and sort of where we are in terms of the house that God is building. What is this house anyway? Last week the passage, the word peace appeared 4 times in it. So it was sort of a no-brainer. What's this passage about? It's about peace. This passage was about the same way. It used the word build or builder or built, both the noun and the verb form, in 4 times in the passage. So it's also a no-brainer. It's about a building or about a house and a builder that's involved in the house. It tells us 2 things about the, and I want to suggest right off the top, it's the community that God is building. The community that God is building is His house. It's His people that He's building. So it tells us 2 things about the community or about the house itself. It tells us 2 things about ourselves in that community. And finally, what's the purpose of those 4? How do they all work together? So let's look first at what the passage tells us about building, the building or the house. Verse 20 tells us, first of all, that about the foundation of the house. This house has a particular foundation. It tells us that the house has been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And most commentators agree this is the New Testament prophets and apostles who reported the words of Christ to us and to the first century church, who were also built on the foundation of the earlier prophets. And Jesus is the cornerstone. We saw this same thing in 1 Peter a while back. Verse 20 says, together we are His house, and the emphasis here is we are His house. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus Himself. So the cornerstone of the building is what gives the building direction. And everything aligns to it. And so this is saying that Christ is the one that gives the foundation, its orientation and direction. Christ's words, secondarily, are as reported to us through the New Testament writers, those prophets and apostles, are communicated Christ's words to us. So not only Christ Himself gives us direction, but those who are attached to Him as our foundation give us direction through His Word. And we know from other passages in the New Testament, if we stand on anything else than the solid rock, which is Christ and His Word, we're standing on shifting sand. And when the difficult times come, we'll be washed away with it. So the community of faith that God is building rests on what? On Christ and His words as reported or communicated to us by the writers of the New Testament. That's our foundation. That's the foundation of the community of faith. So that's the foundation. What about the growth of God's house? It tells us that this house is growing. Act present tense. It's growing right now. It's a growing house. Verse 21 says, we are carefully joined together in Him, in Christ, becoming. Other translations say growing. The joints or the stones of God's metaphorical house here are being laid end to end and are being cemented together by whom? By Christ Himself. So that the whole house is growing piece by piece by piece. So every day the community of faith is growing larger because more and more people are being added to it. It's an actively growing community and Christ is causing the growth. It's growing and Christ is causing the growth. Secondly, let's look at what this passage tells us about ourselves. So it's a house that has a foundation in Christ. It's a house that's growing. What about us? Where do we fit in? Verse 19 tells us that about the members of God's house. It tells us that we are members of God's house. The previous passages we've looked at the last few weeks talked about the Gentiles previously being excluded. But now it says you're being included in Christ. We're no longer excluded as we were once before from God's promises, God's covenant, and God's family. It says now, verse 19, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You're citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. So now in Christ, we have become members of God's family. We've been adopted into God's household. We're in the door, if you will, of this house. We've stepped in by faith. We're part of that community of faith. We're in the family. Verse 22 goes on to say even more about us. It tells us that we are the latest addition, the latest new room, if you will, to God's house. It tells us that we are part of that latest addition. We're being made part of the house itself. And it's the same thing that Peter said. I love it. Peter said, you're members of the house and you're living stones making up the walls of this metaphorical house. And this goes on to say, it talks about really an addition to the house. So how many of you have ever been part of a house project where an addition was added on to the house? It was probably a torturous experience for you like it was for some of us. But it says, verse 22 says, through Him you Gentiles are also being made part of or being built into this dwelling. So we're not only members of the household. We're the stones. We're part of the joints and the ligaments that make up the house. 1 Peter 2 says, we are living stones in God's house. And Christ is, as it were, again, cementing, mortaring the pieces together, because we're in Christ. He's making an even larger house for God, and we are the latest addition. When I was a teenager, we added a room onto the house. But before that, we made, some older homes, and this is on Buttonwood and Bowling Green, some of the older homes were sort of divided up into a lot of little rooms downstairs. And back in the 70s, it was popular to make a bigger room. So we took out several walls, and my brother and I had the privilege of helping tear out those old lath board walls and the old plaster walls. Man, that was hard work. But the hardest part was they took down an old chimney that was no longer used from the furnace in the old days. We lost it there. And my brothers and I, our job was to take the bricks in buckets out to the backyard and just stick them out, store them out there temporarily. And we didn't know what the plan was. But the plan became later when we added this other room onto our house, those bricks were going to be reused for a fireplace, a real fireplace where we could have fires. Old furnace in the basement. So we built this new room on later, several years later, and my job, man, we're losing me here for some reason. I'm going to turn this on. We'll just use this. All right. 1, 2, 3. Testing. There we go. Our now job to take these old bricks and chip off the mortar. You know how that goes. In order to reuse, to renew, just as Christ is renewing us in the Spirit and using us for a new thing, He's adding us onto the house. We're part of that new addition. And boy, it was beautiful. In fact, it was even more beautiful because these were used bricks. And they were all different colors. There was gray and red and black and white because they were used bricks. And they'd been renewed for use in that addition to the house. Finally, verses 21 and 22 tell us about the purpose of God's house. The purpose of God's house. What's God doing with this house? It's to provide a place for God and His people to dwell together. A place for God and His people to dwell together. 21 says, a holy temple for the Lord. 22 says, where God lives by His Spirit. Now, the temple in Jerusalem was the place that God met with His people at a certain point in time, where He dwelt among them in the Old Testament administration. But as I said before, God has always desired to dwell among His people. Exodus 29, early in Exodus, after He had delivered them out of Egypt, God declared, I will dwell with My people, Israel, and I will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. And that's repeated over and over and over through the Old Testament. Now think back historically with me through the Bible. That's why God came into the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. That's why He commanded the tabernacle to be built and to be carried through the wilderness. That's why He commanded the temple later to be built in Jerusalem. That's why Christ became flesh and dwelt among us. That's why the Holy Spirit was sent to live inside every believer. That is why when Christ returns in the New Jerusalem, it's said that the tabernacle or the dwelling or the tent of God will be among men. And He shall dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them. It's like, duh, do you get it? All right. That will then be the permanent dwelling of God among His people. That which we have now with the Holy Spirit living inside of us, that's pretty permanent. But this will be even more permanent. So the purpose for which God is building a house in Christ, a community of believers, is that He might dwell in a new way among His people. Jesus said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit because I'm not going to be able to stay with you. I came and lived among you, yet I'm not going to be able to stay. So I'm sending the Holy Spirit to live among you, that, again, God might dwell among His people. And until Christ comes again and we enjoy fellowship with God in that permanent dwelling in the New Jerusalem, we are part of the church on earth. That spiritual community whom God is building is a place to dwell among His people. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, he said, we are the temple of the living God. So, what difference does it make? So what? Let's think about the implications of our membership and our participation in God's church in the world. Number one, the stones in the structure are chosen and shaped by their position. For their position by God. Where you are in the church, where I am in the church, wasn't our idea. It was God's idea. He placed you
stone number 623 and stone number 5724 in a certain position in his building, in his church. God is the architect. God is the builder. It's not for us to determine where or how we will fit in. That's God's job. So in a way, that's frustrating, but in a way, it's a relief. We don't have to figure all that out. That's God's. It's his building. The stones are placed, number two, into position in relationship to Christ. Without the cornerstone, we wouldn't know where we were going. And we're attached to him. Each of us is attached to him. However, if you're not attached to Christ, you're not part of the building. So each of us needs to evaluate, am I attached to Christ today by faith? Or am I not yet part of the building? It may be time for you to receive Christ by faith, to acknowledge your sin and acknowledge his lordship in the world, that you might be attached to this building and be stone number 16,924,222. Third, the stones are in different shapes and sizes and have different functions. My job is not the same as your job. I look different than you. You look different from one another. And that's okay. God likes a varied building. He likes for it all to work together for the common good. So it's okay to be different. It's okay to have a different function because we complement one another because this is God's house. The stones are linked together. For better or worse, we're stuck with each other. You know? We're stuck with each other. Just like you're stuck in a family, if you're born into a natural family, for better or worse, you're stuck with the family of God. Hopefully that's a little bit better than your natural family. But we're all one interlocking whole. Though we are many, we are one in Christ. Five, the stones are chosen and shaped and placed so that they do not draw attention to themselves, but contribute to a great building in which God dwells. The community of faith is shaped and placed so that he who would be great should be the servant of all. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord that he may lift you up in due time, if ever. I must decrease so that he might increase. Not to draw attention to ourselves, but to contribute to the great build. Isn't it great to be part of something that's greater than yourself? You know, before you were a believer, if you were like me, you thought, wow, you know, I want to make an impact in the world. I want to be noticed. Or maybe not. You know, it's dangerous too. But isn't it greater to be part of something that's greater than yourself? And to be working towards something that's really going to make a difference in the world, in the cosmos for eternity. Six, the placing of each stone is only part of a long process that began thousands of years ago and will continue until the end of the age when the Lord returns. So we may be the latest room added on, but this house is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. More and more rooms are added on every day, every year, every decade, every thousand, every millennium, until Christ comes again. It's great to be part of something that's big. And finally, let's look at Christ's role as the cornerstone of this house, of this building that God is building. I want us to see Christ as the new Eden. Christ is the new Eden where man once again walks with God in the cool of the day. Only in Christ can that take place. We can be in Christ unafraid, unashamed, not covering up anymore, not afraid of what God might say, because Christ covered our sins. In Christ, we're the new tabernacle. Christ goes with us as we wander through this world. Just as Israel wandered through the desert to find the promised land, we're wandering through this world to some degree, and Christ is that tabernacle in whom we dwell as we make our way to heaven by His guidance, as the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire lead us in Christ. And finally, Christ is the new temple. In Christ is the new temple. He said of Himself, "Destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up in 3 days." Speaking of Himself. Why did He do that? So that God might dwell in His people by the Spirit for the rest of the church age. And one day in Christ, we will join together in that new Jerusalem. Coming down out of heaven from God on the last day, it says, where the saints of the church rejoice and enjoy the glory of God forever.